budget constraints that have really created more problem for the state CIO when they're trying to find the skill sets they may need to fill vacant positions, or even trying to adjust to, you know, outdated legacy systems and bringing in new staff that are capable to work on new stuff. So, yeah, it has been a massive challenge for state CIOs, and especially in the states when hiring freezes and elimination of vacant positions have only helped to compound some of these problems. So there are major challenges.
Here at the federal level, there was a two-year pay freeze, but many states have had pay freezes for at least a year, if not much longer. They've had furloughs. Some states have had furloughs. Some states have eliminated positions. And all of that feeds into, at the federal level, we call it the retirement tsunami, potential retirement tsunami. State workers also, there's this big chunk of folks who are increasingly eligible to retire.
That's right. And we actually, in our recent survey, we looked at 2007, we did a survey, and that was because the baby boomers who would be retiring, you know, were at that wave at that point, I guess. And, you know, we anticipated that they would be retiring within the next 5 years. And then the recession, you know, hit, and they kind of postponed, or at least the results state that most of these IT staff actually planned on postponing their retirement. So we've gone from basically a wave, it's turned into possibly a tsunami in the next 5 years, just because of the delays. Kind of interesting that, you know, some of these things seem to be inevitable that at some point these folks are going to have to retire. But I guess when, you know, scaling back jobs continues, I mean, we know that, you know, in state and local areas, there's already been 500,000 eliminated jobs already. So some of these positions are non-existent even at this point. So
what are states doing out there? Are they outsourcing more of this? Are they cutting back on what they actually do? What are the various responses?
From a state CIO's perspective, I think one of the main things that they're trying to do is look at an enterprise view, and as they go through consolidation, try to get people that can manage multiple areas or are able to pick up other areas that are left off. I know from looking at some of the federal things that have been going on, federal CIO Vivek Kundra put in his 25-point implementation plan that they're trying to strengthen program management by having folks that can go across several spectrums. So I think state CIOs are also looking at that, you know, having better training so that these folks are prepared in multiple assets. So.
Yeah, one of the things that your report, well, I wanted to touch, because one of the numbers from your survey was pretty remarkable. Nearly two-thirds of the people who responded to your survey, and that was more than half of the states, in fact, almost, 30% of the states, 60% of the states responded to your survey. And of those, two-thirds said that they anticipate having to reduce IT staff in the either short or long-term future.
Yeah, I think, you know, when states are faced with budget challenges, you know, they have a few options. You know, it's either they raise taxes, they cut programs, or they scale back their staff. And right now we're at the point where, you know, they are saying that about 62 or, you know, two-thirds of their staff they plan to, or at least two-thirds of the states plan to actually reduce their staff. And actually, the actual percentage that they give is that 1 in 10 or 10% of their staff may be eliminated. So that is definitely a mounting concern.
One of the other interesting statistics is almost 80% of the state CIOs said that salary rates, pay grade structures are actually a challenge to attracting and retaining the people they need to get their jobs done.
I think that's continued to be one of the challenges states have faced, trying to be competitive with the private sector. If you look at some of the salary comparisons, I think in the IT role especially, there is some sort of there is a gap in between a state and a private sector job. But the things that states are doing to try to work around that and try to actually pull folks in and try to attract them are different ways. I mean, some of them are the basic things that people have been attracted to for years, benefits plans. We know that pensions, although under fire right now a little bit on, you know, some of the unfunded pensions are one thing, but then there's also things that states are moving towards. Kind of a condensed work week like Utah has implemented. They're actually, they do a 4-day work week where it's condensed, which is kind of for those folks, kind of intriguing and something that they may be interested in. But and for a lot of people, it's just the security of the job,
yeah.
And possibly not having to travel as much as they used to in prior jobs. So
and as you mentioned, just the stability of knowing. I mean, even with some states, a couple of states talking about filing for bankruptcy or something like that, they're not going to go away. It's not like the state is going to disappear.
No, no, yeah. They aren't going to disappear, but, you know, there are still challenges that exist with, you know, it is the stability part that the folks are interested in,
yeah.
But there are challenges with civil service program and how flexible it is with trying to get folks into these roles in a expedited manner and not being so cumbersome. So states do see problems. You know, there's two sides of each story, and I think in this one, you know, it's an asset and a hindrance at times.
One of the things that is causing states to do is focus on what skills are really important, and you actually ask folks, what are the most important skills that are out there for you to that I need to actually keep in my organization, and security just at the top of the list.
Yeah, security has been a long time. Since 2007, it was one of the top responses that, you know, these higher skilled jobs, project management, security, architecture, analysis and design, and then I'll go into in a minute a little bit about mobile application.
Hmm.
But security, yeah, has been a major issue. It's been a high priority for state CIOs. I mean, because within a state, you have health records, social security numbers, date of birth, address, and we're hearing about more and more folks trying to break into that to use that information, like hackers that got into the New Jersey school system or something like that. But on average, in a state, we did a survey recently that 1 to 3% of the state CIO's budget is for security, when if you look at the private sector, that's usually 5%. So trying to get that emphasis on security and the budgeting for it has definitely been an issue in the past. But another area that has really increased with interest is the mobile application development. And one of the main reasons for this has to be with the explosion of the use of smartphones. You know, we need new people to come in that are able to adjust to what citizens want and make it more citizen-faced. So those are some of the areas that are kind of increasing in desire and need more folks to fill. So
one of the phrases that used amongst feds is better, faster, cheaper. In fact, I think most folks have it tattooed on their arm somewhere these days. I know that the states have been talking about that for a long time, and a lot of folks focus on the cheaper, but are there also places where states are saying, hold on, we can do this better, more efficiently?
I think the efficiency factor is definitely key. States want to be online, you know, the whole 24/7, 365 they can with certain services. I think just because they may not be working an entire week or they're in a furlough mode, the citizens in the states are going to still want those services available to them. So, you know, doing it quicker, faster, and more efficiently has always been a top priority for CIOs, and will continue to be. So,
were there, as you were talking to folks, were there innovative ways of actually dealing with this, of doing it better, more efficiently, being more agile?
I think a lot of the things that they tried to adjust the way they'd use traditional ways of, you know, there's print advertising, there's the traditional internships and kind of venues like that for attracting new IT talent. But I think some of the ways that they have been trying to reach out and get a different type of group is use of social media. You know, they're using LinkedIn or Twitter or Facebook to try to find certain types of people that are very capable of these certain positions. And they're also trying to work into I guess different ways of working with their human resources department, having that communication between, you know, the CIO and HR so that they know exactly what type of skill sets they're going to need in the future.
Although I got to tell you, one of the most surprising numbers you have in the report, in fact, it really shocked me, was you found that less than a quarter of the folks who responded to your survey had performed some kind of IT workforce assessment, essentially looking at what skills we have and what skills we need.
Yeah, that was surprising. I thought that each state would be doing that, but yeah, as it turns out, less than a quarter of them are doing it. There are states like California that do actually take their workforce assessment, and then they take that and they apply it to their work plan each year so that they can try to plan for the future, which is what states really should be doing and trying to strengthen, you know, this multi-generational workforce. So it was surprising to see that only a quarter, and we're hoping that, you know, more states start to, you know, lead that in that direction. But we have heard back some of the responses from the states we did get where that, you know, they have started their first year and they're trying to apply that now to their strategic planning, but it wasn't fully implemented yet. So that is something that there's definitely room for improvement, and state CIOs could be better prepared by using that as a tool.
So give folks a lesson learned. What should folks take away if they're from this? Can they do to, I mean, they need these people. How do you do it the most effective way possible?
Well, I'd say with adding to also recruitment and retention and using new strategies, I'd also say just prepare for the future using some of your knowledge management training and a lot of succession planning. That's the way that you're really going to strengthen your state IT workforce. That would be the main suggestions that I would take away.
Excellent.